This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 1747, How to Call Out the Complainer in English. Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 200 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection, with your American hosts, Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, and Michelle Kaplan, the New York radio girl, coming to you from Colorado and New York City, USA. To get real-time transcripts right on your phone and create your personalized vocabulary list, try the All Ears English app for iOS and Android. Start your 7-day free trial at allearsenglish.com/app.
Cry me a river. When you encounter complaints from someone who has no reason to be complaining, what can you say in English to tease them a bit? Find out today.
All Ears English is sponsored by Indeed. If you're in charge of hiring at your company, you know that the key to making a great hire is having one easy place to go to find great candidates. That's why we love Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AEE. Just go to Indeed.com/AEE right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on All Ears English. Indeed.com/AEE. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, Michelle, how you feeling today?
Hey, Lindsay, I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. I'm excited to be here because we're talking about drama today.
We are. Lindsay, do you know anyone who, I hope it's not me, although I was just complaining to you about some stuff. Do you know anyone who complains a lot and is very like dramatic, like just like, do you know anyone like that?
I guess I don't really know anyone in my life right now about that, but I know the type. I know the personality type, and that's tricky to be around, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it is. It is tricky. Yeah, I know the type too. I can think of a couple. Yeah. And
you don't want to name names.
No, but I don't want to, but I can. I do know. I think we all know people like that. If you were to think about it, you might find someone. But
yes.
So today we're going to be talking about this idea of like things that people say that are, it's kind of a what not to say episode, but
yes.
We need to know, like sometimes we need to know what not to say.
Yeah, so that we can know what to say, guys, right? This is all about connection, because I think for our listeners, you guys are at that level where you've taken the classes, you've learned with the textbooks, and now we're going to teach you a bit more of the nuance of English, right? This is our new way to learn English by focusing on this connection, not perfection idea. That's our goal. But in order to connect, there are certain things we should not say.
Right? And you know what? You also, what's interesting is a lot of the time, I think when we talk about things not to say, really, it's always like, oh, but you can say them if you are saying them in a funny way or to somebody you're close with, or, you know, there's exceptions. So they're important to know. Like if we say, oh, well, you shouldn't say these things and we're not going to even teach them to you.
Yeah.
Like we can't be like that, right? We have to think of everything.
Oh yeah, for sure, because context is everything. I mean,
yes,
that's the problem with kind of textbooks and classroom. I mean, it keeps it very much out of context. We want to teach you guys everything in context, right?
Right.
And by the way, Michelle, that's true for the IELTS
the IELTS exam too, preparing for That's the IELTS exam. We got to know the context of speaking part one, being different from speaking part two and part three, and et cetera, et cetera. So guys, go over to follow the IELTS Energy podcast from All Ears English. If you are preparing for IELTS, that is the only place you need to start with us, because we've got the 14 years of examiner experience right there for you, right,
Absolutely.
Michelle?
Absolutely. Yes, Aubrey and Jessica, they are amazing. Yes. So head over and listen to that and follow that podcast.
Yeah.
Follow
that bird, right?
Yeah. Or follow that car. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's get into this. What specific kind of drama? I mean, what are these things we should avoid saying?
Okay. So, the first one is cry me a river.
Cry me a river. Now, I feel like this is there's a song by Justin Bieber.
Yes.
Is that right?
You say?
I thought it was Justin Bieber, or no?
No, Justin Timberlake.
Oh, Justin
Timberlake.
At first
I thought you said Justin Timber, and I was like, okay.
Okay, we need some remedial training on musical knowledge.
I was like, Justin who? Bieber. No, it's Justin Timberlake. Yes, I have it in my head now. I won't sing it. I'll spare everybody.
Yeah. And what, if we start with that song to understand the meaning, what is the meaning of that song? Like, what's the message, having that be the title of it?
Well, it's kind of like, don't cry to me. I mean, it's a sarcastic. When you say cry me a river, it's sarcastic, right?
Yeah, for kind sure. Of. I feel like I used to say this a lot in the 90s in high school. I used to say this. It was kind of in style at that time. But you'll still hear it. I mean, as you know, a whole song has been named after it. Oh, cry me a river. Maybe we have an example. What kind of situation, Michelle?
All right. So this is like if somebody is repeatedly losing their phone. So he lost his phone again. Oh, cry me a river.
Yeah, because he does it all the time and it really doesn't matter.
Right. Right. It's like, all right. Like, I'm not going to get upset about this. So,
right.
It could be also used like if Lindsay, you're explaining, I mean, like if you were to be saying, oh, and this happened and this happened and this happened. And I said, oh, cry me a river. It's like, this isn't a big deal.
It's not a big deal. It shouldn't be a big deal. Or, oh, I asked for a black coffee and they put milk in my coffee. Oh, cry me a river. Get over it. You can drink your coffee with milk today. Right. That kind of thing. So cry me a river. It just means cry a lot. You can go ahead and cry as much as you want. Cry me an entire river, but I won't care, right? Is basically what we're saying.
Right. So if somebody, you know, in that context of like Lindsay, like we're like, if we go, we're close friends, we go for coffee and then, you know, like, and you're just like, cry me a river, you know, I mean, it's okay. And like, if we're like, you know, close friends and you're just kind of being funny.
Yeah, I see what you mean. So it wouldn't necessarily be useful for you really have to be in a situation where you're already kind of annoyed with the person. There may already be some animosity between you two a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just like we're having a nice, friendly conversation and I say, oh, I got the wrong coffee. Oh, cry me a river.
Right. True. That would be a little bit out of place.
Rude. It would be a little rude.
Yeah. But it's even ruder if you do have the animosity. Like guys, the point is don't. Well, although I guess if you're still doing it in a humorous, sarcastic way. Like, it's funny. It's funny how much we can go back and forth on this stuff, guys. This shows you how nuanced this is and how advanced this is.
Very advanced. That's why I think our listeners are ready for it. We want to challenge our listeners here. I think this is most useful in a fight. Like when you're in a fight with someone, like, oh, but you know, you're in a fight about something bigger than, oh, they forgot to take out the garbage. Oh, cry me a river. I forgot to take out the garbage. I made a small mistake. Right. So you're being sarcastic, but you're also using kind of a negative fighting energy there. That's where I think that's probably most useful. I mean, it sounds like the Justin Timberlake song is about a breakup. Right. So,
it was about that today. He's like, and the whole video is like a Britney Spears lookalike. It was about like their breakup. And
there you go. So it's a fight, right? There's a fight, a breakup, an event.
Right. True. So there was, exactly. So, but like, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we kind of need that container of like a moment of heatedness. Because again, coming back to that scenario, I don't want our listeners to sit down in a cafe and their friend like says something, I got the wrong coffee, and they say, cry me a river, because that could be really rude, right?
Yeah. Unless you're just being like totally goofy and funny or whatever. Like, you know, and some people have that personality where they might, I don't know, sometimes it works out, you know, know. There are always people who can like get away with saying certain stuff.
Yes, there are. Yeah.
And they can say it and it's like, that would be hilarious if somebody said it. But if another person said it, they, you know, without that same confidence or style, like it'd
be
like,
weird. Yeah, I always wonder about those people. Maybe we need to have some of those people on the show and just explain their magic, their black magic, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, cry me a river. Or, you know, in that way of using it about somebody else, like if I'm, oh, he lost his phone again. Oh, cry me a river. If I'm like, you know, talking about someone, I mean, it's not nice to talk about other people, but it could be used in that way too.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a good one. So guys, I know this is very high level, but stick with us here because you know, you're going to start to hear this in music and movies and pop culture. So you're going to get it more and more. So let's go to the next one, Michelle.
Okay. Boo-hoo. Here we go. We're going to get fun. Boo-hoo.
So this kind of situation, let's just do a quick example. So, hey, Michelle, I got this engagement ring, but honestly, my fiance didn't get me what I wanted.
Oh, you don't like your engagement ring? Oh, boo-hoo.
So here, there's sarcasm. And what are you saying by saying that, basically?
It's like that I'm crying, but it's also, also dealing with crying. Actually, most of these deal with crying.
Yeah.
It's like sarcastic crying. Like, because... what are you complaining? Well, because it's like you're complaining about an engagement ring and it's, you know,
it's like a 3-carat ring or something, right?
Yeah,
and it's a beautiful ring and it doesn't have the perfect setting or stone.
And you're just kind of being like bratty. Like...
Exactly. So you're saying, don't complain. You have no right to complain is kind of what you're saying here. Oh, boo-hoo. Get over it.
Right. It's true. So yeah, also that same kind of, you know, you could use it. It's a similar kinds of context. I mean, you could either be really vicious with this or you could be kind of fun and lighthearted.
Yeah. So kind of what these phrases are doing, I'm trying to find an overarching thing. They're kind of calling out the complainer, right? Calling out the complainer. That might be the title today. Because that's what you're doing. And you're saying, hey, you have a great life. You don't have a right to complain in this situation, right?
Yeah. It's like, I'm calling you out and I'm making it, I don't know, I just lost my train of thought, but yes, you don't have a right to complain.
Basically. And then, and it's interesting that, you know, they are all about crying, all three of them. So that's kind of funny. Right. Okay. What
Same
about
idea.
This one? Same idea. Oh, your fancy hotel doesn't have a spa.
Exactly. So you're just like crying, same idea, just the sarcastic crying, like, don't complain to me, you know? That I am a believer of, it's like, are you ever upset about something, like, not something like this, but are you ever upset about something and somebody is just like, oh yeah, well, it could be worse, or you could be this, and it's like, people don't need that in the moment. I'm a firm believer in that people can keep things in perspective and still be unhappy about something. Like, I don't think we have to walk around like happy about everything all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because things could be worse.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's there's something about that where you're not being heard, and that's kind of hard to not be heard. Right.
Yeah. I can tell you I'm upset about something and still know. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But these are kind of different. Like the engagement ring. Like, these are really petty.
Yeah, they're pretty petty. But at the same time, you know, like, everyone is in their own world. Right.
Right.
If to you, if you got a 3-carat engagement ring, which is probably, I don't know, $10,000 or something.
Yeah, more,
maybe. You know, you were dreaming about this ring your whole life, but your fiance chose the wrong stone, and maybe you think it means something about how well they know you, then maybe that's really important to you, right? So there is,
true.
So be
there
careful.
There could be a deeper context. Right, that's true.
Yeah, there could be a deeper context, so be careful, but still, sometimes it's good to call out complainers because there's so much privilege in the world, you know, and we have to realize that. So there's a good moment to kind of call someone out and a moment to let them be heard, and you have to decide, guys, it's up to you, right? When is that moment?
That's right. You have to really be in tune to that person. Is that person constantly complaining about petty things, or is this so you have to know the person. And then the last one is different. Okay
Lindsay,
you said you haven't heard this one.
No, this one's brand new, so you're gonna teach me today, Michelle.
I'm teaching. Oh wait, actually we do have two more. Well, we'll see what we have time for. Okay. It's I'm playing the world's smallest violin.
Interesting. Okay? So this one, tell me what this means.
So this one is actually usually it comes with a gesture, guys, if we were on video today, but we're not. But like you could see if you're kind of like miming like a violin.
Interesting. Okay.
You're playing it.
Yeah.
A tiny one.
Tiny. I can imagine. Okay.
It's so like what does this mean? It's like, well, like a violin is like, I'm not sure 100% where this comes from, but I remember I've seen people do it a lot. Like it's like if you, it's like a sad kind of sound, like, oh, like you're like, oh, it's so sad. I'm playing your background music, the smallest violin with the, you know,
okay.
I'm not exactly sure if that's exactly where the meaning comes from and the background music, but it's used to say like, oh, I'm accompanying you on your sadness, like poor you, kind of that idea.
So again, kind of mocking the person a little bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, it's very mocking. Okay. Much mocking.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Cause that person is maybe your perspective is that the person's lucky to have a job or lucky to have a car, right? To commute in. And so to you, they're complaining out of like in a ridiculous way. So you say, oh, I'm playing the world's smallest. What would be the intonation there, Michelle, that you would use?
Well, it would just like for example, well, let me hear. I'll do this. Like, oh, your commute is bad, Lindsay. Do you hear that? I'm playing the world's smallest violin.
Wow.
Like, kind of like that.
Very high level. I like it. I'm learning something new today, too.
Good. But yeah, often sometimes people just do the gesture.
Okay. Maybe I've seen someone do that to me and I haven't known what it meant.
I want you to ask around now because about to you, but I'm curious of other people,
I'll see if other people know it. Sometimes some words I've just entirely missed. I don't know if I was living under a rock or something, but I've just totally missed in English. That's okay.
What does that mean to be living under a rock?
Oh, it just means you've been in isolation somewhere. Like nothing has, you have no awareness of something that, you know, there are entire TV shows that I completely missed. You know, and the real reason is maybe I was living in Japan and I didn't have a TV or something like that. Yeah. I didn't see American television at that time. Yeah. So, but living under a rock is a fun way to say it. It just means you've been out of the loop.
Right. Yes. Exactly. That's fun. And then the last one is, Lindsay, I think you want to do this one?
Yeah. Give me a break. So this one is the most straightforward one, I think. You could go to this one first, guys, try it, and then work your way up from there. She's upset about an early appointment. Oh, at least she got an appointment, right? Give me a break. It's not that bad, right? Let's say she has a special doctor that's booked out a year in advance, right? And it's very hard to get an appointment with this doctor. And she's complaining that the appointment is early.
Right.
Then you go, give me a break. At least she could see the doctor.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, Lindsay, we got a lot here. I mean, you know, if somebody is complaining about something that's like really serious, you could use something like to make them stop. Maybe if you know the person, maybe you know this would make them laugh. And kind of like realize, like, you know, just stop and like get out of their misery for a second.
Yeah.
But you really have to be very crafty with this. You really have to know the person to feel confident with these.
You really do. You have to be really careful. So, you know, what's the personality connection between you and the other person? What's the context? What kind of person are they? Think about all these things before you use this, because this can sound mean. It can sound like you're not hearing the person.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So should we try out a role play?
Let's try it. Let's see what we've got here. What is our scenario here, Michelle?
All right. Well, you are the complainer.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm complaining. All right.
So you're complaining about, well, different things.
Different things. Okay. So yeah, I can't believe I have to be at the airport at 4 a.m.
Oh, boo-hoo, Lindsay. You're going to France. I don't feel sorry for you.
But it's so early.
Wah, wah. Go to sleep early and sleep on the plane.
Ugh, and first class wasn't available. I'm in the middle seat.
Cry me a river. I'd give anything to go to France. Give me a break.
All right. I get it. But it is early.
And now I'm making a motion of a violin. Do you hear that? It's the world's smallest violin.
So that's okay. That one is pretty benign, that whole scenario. I mean, we've all been in this scenario where we've taken the early flight. Specifically, I tend to take the red eyes or the 6 a.m. flight, which means you do get up at 3 in the morning, rather 2 in the morning. It means you basically don't sleep the night before. And yeah, I've complained about it a little bit here and there. But in the end, you realize, hey, you have this luxury of getting on a flight, going to another country. So this is a good example where it's pretty benign. And you may want to accompany this, Michelle, and you're in this that role may have wanted to say, ask questions about the trip, right? Go to the positive piece. Right.
Exactly. If you really want to stop it, like if you're like, don't want to hear the complaining, you might just be like, okay, well, you know, try and change the subject.
Or just to kind of balance out the conversation and keep it positive. So it doesn't sound like everything I'm saying, you're coming back kind of making fun of me a little bit. Instead, you're like, oh, tell me about your first day. I know you're going to be tired and everything, but what are you going to do on that first day? How are you going to keep yourself awake? Because you can't fall asleep when you first fly into France from the US. You have to stay awake all day.
Yeah, I'm laying it on pretty hard here.
Yeah, but it's still like it's in good fun. You know, it's I'm not going to get super offended. You're teasing me a little bit here. Yeah.
Right. But it sounds like we have that relationship. So this is a context in which, you know, we're saying, oh, like something you can't say, but this is showing how you could say it, right?
Yeah. So it's kind of like when someone comes to you with that kind of complaint, you have a choice. You can either purely empathize and be like, oh, I know that 3 a.m. getting up is so hard for that 6 a.m. flight and the airport so far. Or you can tease them and highlight their privilege in being able to go. Right. You can decide where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. So let's go through it. So you said, I can't believe I have to be at the airport at 4 a.m. And I said, oh, boo-hoo, Lindsay, you're going to France.
Oh, and then you said, wham, wham, go to sleep early. Uh-huh. Right. Oh, literally like making the sound of a baby crying.
Yeah. And then you said you're in the middle seat, which actually I feel like is worthy of a complaint. But I said, oh, cry me a river.
Right. Yeah. I'd give anything to go to France. Give me a break.
Yeah. And then I did the motion and I said, do you hear that? Yeah. A lot of times people might say that, like, do you hear that? It's the world's smallest violin, or they might say tiniest, or, you know, there are variations on it.
Do they ever cut off? So because I don't know this expression very well, do people ever cut off it's the world's smallest violin and just do the motion and then say, do you hear that? Do they ever do that?
I think so. I think that might be.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, just like, oh, do you hear that? Or like, what's that? Or something like that.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's good to know. So now I'll know if I get that.
Yeah. Watch out for that.
Watch out. Yeah. If this is in your personality, guys, I mean, the takeaway for today is definitely be careful. Make sure you have the right relationship, right moment, right context. But if it is in your personality to push back on people a little bit, tease them a little bit, do that, but make sure you are building the connection. Like, we don't condone being mean in any way.
No.
Right?
No. But sometimes we like to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, for sure. So that's good stuff. So you guys can decide if that fits you or not. But if you are taking the IELTS exam and you have those dreams to go abroad, there is a way to make sure you get the right training from the beginning. Go over to the IELTS Energy podcast, right, Michelle? Good place to get started.
Absolutely. I love it. Great place to go. All right, guys. Well, this was fun. A lot of fun.
It was really interesting. Good stuff. Michelle, I'll see you very soon.
All right. Bye, Lindsay.
Bye. Thanks for listening to All Ears English. Would you like to know your English level? Take our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.